All right, Wednesday night, Kingdom Teaching, Kingdom Revelation. We began last week on a new journey on faith. We're dealing with faith and finished up with Revelation. And thank God for having the inside scoop, if you will, having understanding of what's coming and how to prepare. Now we're going to operate in faith to prepare for these things and to be able to navigate. Some people they're pretty ready for what's going to come down the road, but they're failing at today and tomorrow. They really are. They're struggling with today and tomorrow. And it's nice that we have cases of MREs or whatever you may have stored away. That's wonderful. It's a good thing. But you're failing today in your faith and your relationship with God, and you're struggling. And so my instructions are to bring us to a balance. And simply it's called faith. So last time we got together, I hope if you didn't catch the teaching, you did by archive. We went to Hebrews chapter 10. A lot of guys start out Hebrews 11. A lot of preachers and teachers start out Hebrews 11. I didn't want to do that because Hebrews 10 brings you up. It's a precursor, and it brings you to an understanding. Again, I believe the author is the Apostle Paul. But it brings you to an understanding of the law and how that the law wasn't enough, that Jesus came and he became our sacrifice for sin through faith, and we understand that. And so it was a great buildup to where we're going to go. So verse 22, we'll just hit a few places. Hit that for me, Hebrews 10:22. Let's just look at that real quick. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. So how do we get nearer God? With a true heart or a pure heart, with a full assurance of faith. In other words, we know that it's impossible to please God without what? Faith. I got to have faith in God. I got to believe that he is, and he's what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when I come to him with that true heart, that pure heart, that is full of confidence of faith, then guess what? I get to draw near to him. You know, a lot of people go to God in a very timid way. Now, I'm all for respect and honor to God. Absolutely. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. He is beyond our words and comprehension. But he gives us the right through Jesus Christ to enter in boldly. Let me try that again. He gives us the right and the power and the ability, the authority, all these things, and the grace to go into his throne room with boldness. You know, back in the Old Testament, some of you ladies, back when Jennifer had a ladies' night, you all watched One Night with a King. You remember One Night with a King? That's one of the girly movies I actually cried on. Isn't it? Okay, so what? I said it. Okay. Yeah, it was a very good movie. If you haven't seen it yet, you need to see it, or you need to do another girls' night and just bring tissues. But it was very powerful, and it was about Queen Esther and how that she couldn't enter in to the, and all queens at the time could not enter in to the throne room of the king until the king summons them. And sometimes it could be a year or years before he picked one of his girls to come up there, his wives. So she, through boldness, entered in when she couldn't enter in. And it's a very powerful, dramatic scene when she enters in. Remember that? She busts through the doors and everybody's like, oh! You know, you don't belong here. But she boldly went in there. Well, this is what I picture here with God. We have that ability to boldly enter in through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we fail to remember this sometimes, and people get really have false humility, and it's more religion. Having our hearts sprinkled, again, it's not sprinkled like a cupcake or something. It means to be consecrated from an evil conscience. So my conscience is not evil. My conscience is clean between me and God. There's nothing between me and him but love. Are you getting this? Because I have faith in him and I know that he loves me, and Jesus made that way. We taught earlier in Hebrews 10, it was what? A new and living way. Is that right? The law killed, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So it's a new and living way I can enter into the presence of God. So it takes away all fear. What does love do? Love takes away fear, doesn't it? Absolutely. And it covers what? A multitude of sin. So all that's been taken from me and taken from you, now I understand who I am in God. Yes, I bow myself and humble myself before his throne, but hey, make your petitions known unto God. Tell him what the deal is. Because so many times we get real King James with God. Is this okay if I just kind of give you free nuggets from... We do. Thouest, Lordest, knoweth, alleth that I doneth, and I needeth, thouest, noweth, pleaseth, help meeth. And he's like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but come on, man. You know, what do you really want? Lord, hey, man, I'm struggling. God, I just don't understand this whole Christianity thing. I don't get this whole thing about the Bible. I don't understand. Right? And he doesn't look at you and say, thou little faith. He doesn't say, he's like, well, okay, well, let me help you. Let me show you, right? And then somewhere down the line, you're going to get your answer if he doesn't speak to you directly. All right, and our bodies washed with the pure water. We're talking about the Word of God. So we got into that. I was real excited. Verses 24 and 25, and then we're going to get into tonight's teaching. Okay? So I'm not going to do the whole chapter, so don't freak out. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do what? Good works. This is all in the context of faith. So let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Next verse. Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is. The manner of some is. Now again, we're not talking about not being attached. We're attached here with media. We're thankful for that. We're thankful that we can be all over the place and yet still come together. We're talking about those that want nothing to do with assembling together. They just don't, the church is all corrupt. How many of y'all know people like that? They're all devils, you know. Well, this pastor seems to be a genuine. No, I could see it in his eyes. He wants your money. You know, everything's negative and negative and negative and negative. They're 501c3. They're this. Everything's terrible. Really? You're the only authentic person in the room. Okay, good for you. You're not. Not forsaking the assembling themselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so, much the more, and so, or added on, much the more, or definitely more, as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord. So we just taught on the book of Revelation. Now we're talking on faith. And so if you go back into those teachings from last week, you'll see that this has, in context, to do with faith. Because as I have faith, my faith builds your faith, and my faith has love attached to it, because you can't have them separated. And then we begin to provoke one another to good works. Now, provoke is not having, you know, one of the ladies, you know, standing at the door with a measuring rod checking how long your skirt is. No, you're provoking me to anger is what you're doing there, right? It's not that, not provoking or poking the finger in the eye. What it is doing is saying, look, we're in a household of faith. We're in a community of faith. This is building our faith. It's building love. I love you. I understand, you know, you have certain things about you that are you. I have certain things that are about me, but I love you anyways. And by faith, we're going to make this thing happen, and we're going to have a community together. So that's exactly what it is. And I wrote this down. Your faith builds community. Your faith builds community. And that's not some type of sloppy, agape, greasy grace, kumbaya, hold hands, you know, and just hug each other. That's not what that is. It just builds a strong community of sharing and loving and provoking. Let me tell you it this way. If I'm walking in holiness and you're walking in holiness and we're walking and striving to be the best we can as Christians, if we start to stumble, if we have issues or whatever, seeing my brother and my sister strong in the Lord will encourage me to continue to move forward. Have you ever been around somebody who's really strong and you're like, you grab hold of them? You don't, you know, they may not know it. I do. I've gravitated to somebody and got strength out of it. That's what community does, okay? All right, so let's go into tonight. That was just a really brief teaching because we were so far into chapter 10. I did give you this statement so I don't have to be repetitive. Faith is trust, and trust can only come by experience. And experience produces confidence, and confidence leads to limitless potential. So hopefully you got that last time. Again, I use the illustration of your seat. Okay? Nobody came in here and looked at the seat to make sure it held your weight. Come on now. Nobody looked underneath and says weight limit. You just sat down because you have confidence that you sat in that chair before, and it is a chair. It's supposed to hold you. Okay? So you have that faith, you have the confidence. You say, man, that's just too simple. No, that's how it is. I have experience with that chair. Okay? So take it into the realm of the supernatural, into the spirit, into the realm of relationship with God. I have experience with him. I trust him. You see how your faith builds? You go through a trial, you get through that trial, you have more trust because you have more experience. All right, so let's prove all that, and then we're going to take you to another dimension. Some of y'all may have heard this type of teaching, maybe you haven't, but I'm going to tell you, by the time we get done with this, this is going to revolutionize your life as a Christian. It really, really will change you if you just let this sink into your spirit. Hebrews 11:1, let's look at this together. Let's check this thing out. Hebrews 11:1. Now, when is faith? Faith is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the substance or the reality or the tangibility. Faith is the tangibility. Again, Scientology says mind over matter. That's not what faith is. Faith says, I see the reality or the fact that there's something there. It's an object, it's a situation, it's a sickness, it's a report, it's a disease, it's a malady, it's a malfunction, it's a grave. But faith says, I see beyond that object, that thing, because the real reality is the supernatural realm where God is. Does that make sense? So now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word hoped for there is expectation. So it's a tangibility of what I'm expecting. Expectation is a very powerful force because you get what you expect. What do you expect out of God? Let's go real slow. What do I expect out of God? Because my expectation will determine the substance or determine the reality of what's going to come into my life. Again, this is not some type of hocus pocus, you know, brain power. This is in the heart of your heart that is only activated by the power of the Word of God. And I'll prove that to you. But there's a vehicle, there's an ignition point that most people fail to realize that releases faith. And we're going to teach that tonight. I hope I can get through it all. So here we go again. So faith is the substance or the assurance of the reality. One translation said it's the title deed. It's the title deed. So if I'm believing for one thing, now I'm not talking about always shotgunning it. We're talking about something specific. If I'm believing for something specific, then my faith already has the title deed. Yeah, my faith already has the title deed, whether it's my healing, whether it's a car, whether it's this or that, whatever it is, there's the title deed or the assurance is already there. Okay? Your faith in God says so. Why? Because in God, it's already done. What can God not produce? What can God not create? He created it all. Now, there's ramifications and there are boundaries to what we're going to teach here in a little bit. So you can't go wild-willy on this, that what a lot of people do, and you become shipwrecked. Okay, there's the will of God, there's the patience and all that. I'm going to get all that out later. Okay, but I'm just trying to build these building blocks for you. So now faith is the assurance of the reality of the title deed of what is expected or the evidence, the proof, the conviction, or the persuasion. Listen to what I just said. What is expected, the evidence, the proof, the conviction, or persuasion. That's my evidence. I'm persuaded. Paul said that he was what? He was persuaded. And angels, no demons, no height, no depth, no length, no life, nor death, nor nothing can separate me, what? From the love of God. He was persuaded. I think women know more about persuasion than men do. Come on, ladies. When a woman is persuaded, you ain't changing her. Maybe diamonds and roses and furs and Cadillacs, maybe that'll change. No, they're an amazing, I'm going to say amazing creature. They're amazing creation that they can just be persuaded. And I don't know, at least with my wife, when she's set on something, she's like radar. Hey, honey. Just go to Walmart. All right? Proof, conviction, persuasion of what we cannot tangibly perceive with these senses. So let's look at it again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not seen by the natural eye. Again, it could be healing. It could be... Let's just use your life for an example. The things that you have today that you didn't have yesterday, how did you get it?
Well, I worked hard and I bought it.
But there are things you've got by faith because you prayed about it. You're living right now in a faith tabernacle. You're in a faith tabernacle in this church. God did all this. How did it happen? By faith. Nobody wrote out a check. God did it. And he used people who wrote out checks and everything that God has done. But he did it. Is that right? Yeah. And when we were in the shoebox, we were prophesying to get out of there. Come on. You all know those are the beginning. We were prophesying to get out of that place. And then he did it. First, y'all thought I lost my mind when I said we're coming over here. I remember Flo like, I don't know, Pastor, but okay, I'm with you. Because it didn't, in the senses, it didn't look possible. It did not look possible. They had all that money on the sign, how much they wanted for this place, and we got it way, 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 way beyond. Okay, who did it? God did it. Okay, so we have to understand. So this is the bedrock. We teach this all the time. Now, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right, so it's there. Faith is there. It produces the things that are not seen. Let's go a little deeper. Okay, we got plenty of time to do this thing. Go to verse 2. Watch this. For the elders, who's the elders? Those are the people in the early days. The early church goes back to the Old Testament. Obtained a what? Good report. A good report. In other words, something that was satisfactory. They got what they were believing for. They got a good report. Now, later on in Hebrews 11, if we go through the Hall of Fame, we're going to see that there are many people in there that didn't actually obtain to what they were believing for, but they hoped beyond all hope. They went against all the grains, if you will, society and negativity, and then eventually what they believed for came, and they weren't even there to receive it. But they got a greater reward in heaven. I'm telling you. You know, people say, well, I didn't get what you... You're not going to stand before God and say, I didn't get everything. Put me back down there. 2 bedrooms. I wanted 4 bedrooms. You're not going to do that. Because heaven's full of your desires. Of your heart that's pure and right. You're going to be like, woohoo! Who cares? Don't put me back down there. I mean, you want to talk about a tantrum, Ronnie? Me and Ronnie be like, no. Jesus, hold on to Jesus. You know? No, you got to go. No, I mean, come on. Anybody here? I've heard of testimonies of people. Some, you know, I'm a believer and I believe in the supernatural. But I've heard testimonies of people who died and went to heaven, and the people were praying down at the bottom, you know, on earth, trying to bring them back, and they were screaming, "No, I don't want to go back." And the Lord said, "Well, you got to." You know, I've heard that before. Anyhow, I would be the one screaming. So we look at this. This is a powerful thing. For by it, you said, well, that's just a short little scripture. No, for by it, by what? By faith. By faith, by faith, the evidence, the things that they hope for, what they believe, the tangibility of it, the persuasion, the title deed, they obtained a good report. Okay, you want a good report in your life? You got to go by what? By faith. Okay, a lot of times in our life we have a negative report because we don't operate in faith. Now, don't get me wrong, you're going to get negative reports because that's life. That's called battle. Is that right? If you're a soldier and you get a report, you're supposed to report to the front line, that's not a good day, right? Go to the Russian front. No, I don't think I want to, but if that's my report, I understand it. But in the midst of that bad report, you can have a good report. How? By faith. Okay? So go to Romans 10:17, and then we're going to shift gears into something you may have seen, may not have seen before. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, wait, we can just go home right now. So then faith cometh by hearing. Now, the translation should be this if you look at it in the Greek. and grammatically correct, it really means this: faith cometh by hearing, and 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 by hearing. It's nonstop. It's a continuous action. The problem with most believers is they hear a message on faith, grab a hold of it, and go out and, you know, they just repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, and it doesn't happen, and they get mad at the pastor. You know, they throw down his teaching CDs. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? One of the greatest examples is when you start tithing as a believer. You start tithing and you get hit and the bill comes in or whatever, and you say, this doesn't work. How many of you ever been there? Yeah, well, the problem is you got to continue to work the word. Right. Listen to this. If you work the word will work, but you got to work the word. You can't just hear it. You got to keep hearing it, keep hearing it. I've learned this principle in my life, okay? And I'm not some super spiritual, stunning Steve, but I've learned a lot in my life. And this is one of the things I've learned, that when I struggle in a certain area of my life, I have to put a word on it. It's called word pressure. I made this up years ago. Word pressure. I find it's like putting a tourniquet on or a pressure dressing on a wound. If I'm lacking somewhere, finances, health, whatever, find the scriptures that deal with those things and press it into your spirit. Keep listening to it. Keep reading it. Keep digesting it. Why? Because what you're doing is you're allowing that word to work in you. And faith cometh by hearing, by hearing, by hearing, by hearing, by hearing. Is that good? It's not just having heard. That's the problem with rapid Christianity we have. We have Christians that are so, you know, they're like Mexican jumping beans. I mean, they're just moving, moving, moving. Got to go to one place to the other. Yeah, I'm really doing something for God. Conviction after conviction, and you know this program, and just really moving around. No, you're not. You're not moving anywhere. To be successful in a certain aspect of life is to be successful at that thing of life, in your Christian walk. Does that make sense? And what we want to do is we want to shotgun everything and just, you know, ask God to do everything. No, man, narrow it down and say, okay, I got an issue with health. Oh, man, boom, 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 pound it with the word. Oh, man, I can't seem to make my end of the month reach, you know, finance. I can't do this. I don't know what's going on. He wants me to tithe and give the missions. I'm the missions. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Why don't we take an offering for me, pastor, you know, or what have you. Find the scriptures that talk about the blessings of God and apply them. Again, this is not some hocus pocus thing. I'm reading to you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So if I'm going to have faith, the faith that moves mountains, the faith that does everything we just saw in Hebrews 1, and I'm going to show you more, then I got to hear the word of God. This is what I said Sunday about getting a little recording of the Bible. If you have trouble reading, or you don't like reading, or you're on the go a lot, get the Bible either on your version or whatever on your phones, and put your little headphones in and let the word come in you. Saturate. You see, you tell a lot of Christians, they look at you like there's a calf staring at a new gate. You mean I got to do something to get this? Yeah. I can't bunny foo-foo you. You know, I can't come up here and take the Bible and just whack you. I could, but I can't just whack you, and I have, whack you over the head and make you metamorphosize into this great man or woman of faith. It doesn't happen. I'd like it to be. Curtis, it would be awesome. Yeah, you wouldn't need no catchers. Just knock them in the first row. It's over. Next. All right, but it doesn't work that way. It sounds good. But anyway. So okay, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. It's continuously hearing the word of God. Go to John 1:1. So let's build on this principle. John 1:1. I'm going to take you somewhere. In the beginning. What beginning? The beginning of the cosmos, the beginning of the world, the beginning of creation was what? The Word. Everything should begin with the Word in your life. Well, I'm going to call doctor. I'm going to call psychiatrist. Well, I'm going to call pastor. Everything should begin with the Word. Is that right? Get the Word on it. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we know this is speaking of creation. We know it speaks of the word Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And God created, which is Elohim, which proves the Trinity, because Elohim is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus was there in the beginning. There's other scriptures that refer that nothing was done in creation without Jesus. He's not plan B, he is the plan. Okay, he is God. And he was wrapped up in flesh. The word became alive to us. Okay, so faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So my faith begins with this Word, which is God's Word. I mean, it's pretty simple. Is that right? So if I want to increase my faith, and I want to be a man or woman of faith, and if I want to put faith applications to my life and put that Word pressure on something, I got to go to the Word, which is God. There's no separation between what He said and who He is. None. Now, you and I, sometimes we're double. Okay, I can't find anybody honest. Let me find somebody. Sometimes we're double. We don't always do what we say and say what we do. For what lot of reasons? We fail at something. I'll be there at 9 and we don't show up. Or what have you. There's idiosyncrasies. There's lack of things, consistencies. There's things about us. But God is not that way. So if I'm going to operate in faith and operate like Him, then I have to have His Word. Not His Word in somebody's CD, not His Word in somebody's book, even though they could be training series. I've got to go to the Word. And you have to go to the Word. And Sunday and Wednesday is not enough. I feed you as rich as I can, as much as the Lord gives me. I try to pour into you, but you've got to do it. I mean, if this was all you ate all week, we would be in a different condition. I'm not looking, right? We all would. We would be different, wouldn't we? We could see each other better. What'd you say? You'd be passed out. Jen says, I'll be passed out. She's got to eat. How many of y'all got to eat? You got to eat. Okay, so let's go to the roots of faith. Now we're going to turn, as I was telling you, we're going to turn some gears. We're going to look at the root of faith and see some things. Go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at just a few verses there.
Yeah, sure. He always says that.
but I want to bring you to the roots of it. And again, this may not be the way you've been traditionally taught about faith, but I'm going to show you something here that changed my life, and it will definitely change yours if you apply it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Just go there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Next verse. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I'm not going to get into the whole form and void and get into the gap theory and teach on that. Just trust me, God didn't make anything without form, void, and dark. So another day I'll teach on that. Okay, so next verse. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. I want you to focus on, and God said. God said. Okay. Now, according to the King James Version, every version will have something a little bit different. But He spoke 15 times. 15 times in creation, it was God said. Look it up, do a word search. 15 times God said. He used called or blessed more than He used the word created or used created, which was 10 times. So in other words, I'll say it again. 15 times God said, called, or blessed. He did that more than it's recorded where He created, which was 10 times. So He spoke more than He did action as far as created is concerned. But we know when He spoke, it was a creative power and it happened. Does that make sense? So He used His mouth more than He used any other aspect of creating creative power because it was from the Word. We just read to you, right? In the beginning was the Word. So we begin to see this characteristics. Now, you may have never heard this terminology, but those have been around for a while. It's called the law of first mention. Anytime you see something about the characteristics of God in the beginning of the Bible, there's a law of first mention. In other words, what it says about God carries on through through Jesus and through the very character of who he is. It's a law of first mention. So when we look at this law of first mention, God said, and he tells us later on that we're to be a people of faith and to be like him, then we have to follow his character. Is that correct? Yep. And his character is to speak things into existence. Now, go to Hebrews 11:3, and then we're going to go back to Genesis, and I'm going to show you this here for the remainder time we have. Now, watch this. Just keep that in mind. God said, through faith, or by faith, through the power of faith, we understand. What does understanding mean? To be under the standing, under the knowledge of, that the worlds were framed. The worlds were framed. Let me give you another definition for that. They were framed, or they were fit together, or they were prepared. Here's another terminology: to adjust, to repair, or to equip. So let's look at it in another light. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, or they were prepared, they were fit, they were joined together by what? The Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, we just saw that. He spoke 15 times as opposed to 10 times the word created was used. So we know that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. So that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. So the words of God created those things that we're going to read about in Genesis, or we've already read all of our lives, of the sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, the firmament, the waters and everything, including man. Is that right? That's right. So he did it by his word. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by what? The words of God. But here in this principle, watch this. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You have the same creative ability that God has. I have the same creative ability that God has by my words. My world can be framed. Your world can be framed by your words. An example, you and I are living the very lives that we have framed by our words. To the positive and to the negative. Some of us have been around people, I'll always be broke, man. I'm broke, I'm broke, I'm broke, I'm broke, I'm broke. Just won the lottery, but I'm broke. You understand? I'm broke. You know, they pull their pants, they show the lint in their pockets, and they're broke. They're always broke. Or they're always talking about being sick. Or they're always talking about, man, hey, man, how you doing today? Well, man, I'm busted and disgusted. I'm just, you know, devil's all over me, and I've got pains everywhere I can imagine. Man, I'm dying. Pray for me, bro. No, I'm not praying for you. You have no faith. Right? You have no faith. And you know that they're always negative, and you can never get a positive world. Well, guess what? You are framing your world. You're preparing your world. You're repairing, you're equipping your world by what you say. I'm telling you, this changed my life. I learned this lesson when I first got saved, and next week I'm going to give you two books that changed my life. Two names of two books. Changed my life. Say, tell me now. No, next week. Change my life. You got to come back. Absolutely rebel. And I was never the same with this tongue. I still have to train it. I still have to be careful with it. But now I'm to the point where as soon as I let something go, the Holy Spirit will convict me and say, you don't talk that way. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, boy? Psh. Oh, yeah, you're right. Are you there? But you get around Christians who are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they talk so negative, they talk so low, and God can't do nothing with it. Because the worlds were framed by his words, and if you're not speaking his words, then you're framing another world. And so this is the powerful principle for us believers, and I know we slip, but you can't. You got to really stay in tune, and you got to speak the word of God, because you can frame your world. If you always talk about being broke, you're going to be broke. That's flat out. I can't fix you. You can tithe, and God will bless you in your tithe. But you want to get beyond that? Learn how to speak. I'm blessed coming in the city and the field. Men give it to my bosom, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I'm the head and not the tail, man. I'm blessed coming in the city. I'm blessed. Well, that's just mantras. No, it's not. It's the word of God. Right. When my ways are pleasing unto God, even my enemies like me. I've prayed for years that people who don't like me would give me money. And they have. Try it. It's the word of God. And you're going to get Oliver Shacknasty who hates you, and they're going to give you money. I've had people send me a check and rebuke me. I'm not kidding you. I don't like what you said, but here's $1.50. I don't know what it was. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. What do you do? But see, that comes out, that isn't a one-time thing. Now, it may happen for you for one time. I don't know, God, look, I'm not going to box God and say, well, he's not going to let that happen for Blake. Blake's got to do it 1,000 times and all. He'll do what he wants to do. But here's the deal. God knows our heart, and when we make it repetitious, yeah, you could even say it's kind of a routine. When we make it a part of our calisthenics, a part of our weightlifting regime, or a part of our exercise as a Christian, it's very healthy, and it builds an immune system to the negativity. I mean, I had people growing up, when I first got saved, I had several brothers who got saved all around the same time. These guys are rough, man. One's a former detective, another one's a former deputy, black belt. They would go to Christian mosh pits. I mean, they were wild, and they would be like, we're rough cut Christians. And I was like, okay, well, I'm trying to be a refined one, you know. And the way my relationship with God, they'd always come up and say, oh, here comes the Pope. You know, they would dog me out. And because I was always the word, and I always would speak the word. And you know, you can't say nothing negative around him. Well, there was a reason, man. I was training myself because I was already a negative person. I already lived in complexes. I had such a complex when I was growing up. I think I shared some of this testimony. Really had a bad complex, man. I thought everybody was talking about me. I'll just be honest. It's testimony night. You ever had that? I walked into a room and I thought they were talking about me. And they weren't talking about me. But I thought they were. And it destroyed my self-esteem. Destroyed me. Even when I got saved, I struggled with it. Anyways, I learned this principle when I read these two books. I learned this principle about speaking the word. Now, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't give a rip what you think about me. And that's victory. I love you, but, I don't, you know, hey, you don't like me? Well, you know, I'm good. Just send a check. All right. You get it? We've all been through these things. So we through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand that. We got this understanding. And so why would he add it here into the whole faith message? It's because you have the same ability, the same creative ability. Let me prove it to you in my final moments. Go to Genesis chapter 2. No, don't go there. Go to Proverbs 18:21. Let's go there first because there's another principle here. Proverbs 18:21. Sorry to double clutch you. Death and life are in the power of a gun. No, that's not what it says. Let's get this right. Death and life are in the power of your mother-in-law. No, bad translation. Death and life are the power of what?
Tongue.
Your tongue. So, death and life, faith and fear, the opposites of what you want and desire are found in the power or the authority of your tongue. Who do you speak for? The devil? Or do you speak for God? Because if you speak for the devil, you get death. If you speak for God, you get life and life more abundantly. Didn't say you're spotless and just a beautiful life and it's just roses and petunias. Oh, no. The devil will fight you even more. Why does the devil fight you? Well, first of all, he can't kill you. Even though he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, God's the author of all life. He can't kill you. Not if you're a believer, not if you're doing what you're supposed to do. He can make you feel like you're going to die. He could take you to the edge of it. But God is the author of life. Let me tell you what the devil's looking for. The devil wants to stop the words of your mouth because he understands the creative power of it. I'm serious. That's why he hits us emotionally, he hits us mentally, he hits us with thoughts. Come on now. And he's trying to steal that faith, the word that is nigh into our mouth. It's right there, and he's trying to steal it from us. I can prove that to you in Genesis chapter 3 when he deceived Eve. He perverted and he twisted the words of God to cause her to repeat and to believe what the devil wanted. Had she spoke what God said and had Adam stood up, and this is a whole other teaching, we wouldn't be in this situation. Well, who knows what we'd have been in? We wouldn't have been in that situation, okay? Maybe there'd been another attack. But watch this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Please read this. And they that love it, what do you love, death or life? Because whatever you love, you're going to eat. Hebrews 11:3. You frame your world. What do you like? I don't like death. I don't like negativity. I don't like fighting in the house. I don't like arguments. I don't like confrontations. I don't like any of these things. Do you? I don't. I don't like being poor. Y'all like being poor? No, I sure don't. I sure don't like going to the gas station and pulling out a few. Well, you can't even put out quarters anymore. You better, Ronnie, you better find some money somewhere. But you know, are you ever got declined? Oh yeah, I'm gonna get me a few of these things here.
I'm sorry, sir, it's been declined.
What do you mean? I got money. No, you don't. No, you don't. Nobody likes that, right? Now I know there's management and using wisdom and all these different things added to this. But the point is this: if you continuously speak things negatively, then you're going to have that world that's full of negativity. Let's prove it to you in one other thing. Go to Genesis chapter 2. And this is going to be a faith principle. And I think I can get this in. Yeah, I can. Can you give me about 5 minutes after? Good, I'll take 10 after. All right, I'm going to keep going. Check this out. Here's some principles. All right. Oh, let's begin with verse 1 and go to 10. It's just going to give you a brief overall. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Next verse. Go all the way to 10. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now notice God does work, right? And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth that were created. And that day, the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Does everybody know that God made the heavens and the earth? He wants you to know that. And every plant of the fields before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, because what? There was not a man to till the ground. There's a whole other message I preach on this, that there's just some things that won't grow until a man gets there. There's just certain things in life that will not happen until you show up. It's a powerful principle in destiny. Next verse. Again, the law of what? First mention. It goes on. And there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust. Remember the word formed. Formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the ruach of God, the breath of life. And man became a what? A living soul. So the breath of God, which would have been the words of God, which would have been the very life of God, entered into the soul of the body of man. He became a living soul. So in everyone, Ecclesiastes 3:11 talks about eternity being in the hearts of man. Every one of us, every person who's born, has that breath of life already in them. The problem is they're in the solical realm. They're not born again. When you're born again, you become a new creation. And that Holy Spirit life begins to take root or take activity within you, and you're born again. Okay? But it's that words. So already by nature, we have the creative power in us. You see, there's people who are not saved that have great creative power. There's so much great creativity out there. I wonder sometimes when I see artists, you know, and they don't know the Lord or whatever. It's great creativity. But that's not the creativity God's talking about. They have creativity, but they have a miserable life. They have creativity, but they don't have eternity. We can create our life. We can create the beauty of a life of a believer in his kingdom by that word. Okay, so next verse. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. He wanted to give man a job. And there he put the man whom he had what? He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and it became four heads. Sometime I'll teach on those four principles. They're very powerful. Now go to verse 15 through 25, and this is where we're going to end. So I'm starting on my 5 minutes. Genesis chapter 2, okay, and the Lord God took the man. I look at that sometimes and I think he was unwilling. The man didn't want to go in the garden. But the man, come here, you're going to go to work. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to what? To dress it and to keep it. Now, this is just free, okay? If I ever teach it again, just say, oh, I never heard that before. To dress it and to keep it is actually, the word keep it, there's a military term. It means to guard. When Adam and Eve sinned, it was the sin really, Eve was deceived, the word says that, but Adam really failed because he was supposed to guard the garden. He knew exactly of any enemy that was in that garden. He was a supernatural man, and he led into the sin. Remember, the two become one, right? Yes. So Adam, I believe, could have stopped the whole fall, even though Eve partook of it. Now, the judgment on Eve, I don't know what it would have been, but I believe that Adam could have stopped it. That's a whole other teaching, but it's a good principle, because man was supposed to do what he's supposed to do. Well, guess what? It adds to faith. You're supposed to keep your garden. Let me try that again. You're supposed to keep your garden, whatever your garden is. If you're single, that's your garden. That's your life. Keep it. Guard it. Right? Now watch this. And the Lord God commanded the man. The Lord God commanded the man, didn't ask him, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. Okay? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Not die far as his breath is gone. He would die what? Spiritually. And then the process of death would begin. The outward man perishes how much? Daily. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man that he should be alone. Somebody say amen. And I will make him somebody he can whine to. No, I will make him a helpmeet for him. Come on, ladies. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. Now here's what I want you to see in my closing time. I don't want to rush this, so if I go over, please bear with me. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of every fowl of the air, and he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. God gave Adam the supernatural power, the authority, the intelligence, the anointing, if you will, to declare what every animal would be. If Adam said, that's an elephant, God said, good boy, that's an elephant. He allowed him to speak those things. So the same principle for you and I is this, that God lets things come into our lives to allow us to see what we would call it. What do you call challenges? What do you call battles? Do you give up and say, well, I'm going to fail, I'm going to die, so it's not, forget it, put me in the grave now? Or do you say, no, by faith I stand. Devil, you're a liar. I speak life. I speak the creative power of God. See, it's a very powerful principle. What do you see in life? What do I see? Do I see a challenge if something comes up against your health? Do I see a challenge because this bill comes in you weren't expected? Or do I see it as a death warrant? Do I see it as defeat? It's up to you. How do you see it? The law first mentioned. And so if God did this for Adam, he's telling us through the New Testament, this is what I want you to do. This is powerful. This is not just having faith for a donut. And see, when you call him, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Go ahead, Adam, speak it. And that's what it'll be, son. Isn't that powerful? God will do the same thing for you. Can I tell you something? God will never ask you to do something you can't do. He never will. He would be unjust. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, you can only do all things through Christ that he strengthens you to do. I can't do all things. I can't run a marathon. I'm not looking at nobody. Most of us can't run a marathon. I'm not a bodybuilder. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't fly an airplane. Well, I can do all things through Christ. No, you can't. Unless Christ has anointed you and strengthened you to do it, you can't do it. But if God has anointed me and strengthened me and I'm educated in that area and whatever, God can help me do it. Oh, man, you're not talking supernatural. Come on. Okay, supernatural, I can fly. But without the supernatural, I'm not going anywhere, Curtis. I'm rooted and grounded. All right, next verse. I got to go. You guys are running over. It's your fault. And Adam gave names to a few of the cattle. No, all cattle. To the fowl, the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Thank God Adam wasn't attracted to a giraffe. Because this would be a whole different story. And I'd be much taller than I am. Aren't you glad? Next verse. That would be weird. Been some mules. There's been some mules I've met. Some donkeys. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. You know what happened to man? He never woke up. Ladies, say amen. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs. Now, that's why man wants woman. He wants a rib. And he closed up the flesh instead thereof. Next verse. Come on, it's ending. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Woo-hoo! Now, here's two things I want you to see. Man was what? Formed. He was formed, which means he was shaped. Like clay, shaped. Woman was formed. The word, the root word means to be soft. That's why a woman is soft. Come on, church. And that's why, you're the honor of the woman. She's the weaker vessel in marriage and blah, blah, blah. But man's like, huh. You know, right? He don't care. He's like, caveman. You know, shave or don't shave, it don't matter. Woman's like, I got to shave. I can't wear this today. Is that right? Does this match? Yeah, it matches to me. You know, guys like Rocky, he don't care. He's punch drunk. He's still asleep. But women, they're all like, I got this purse that matches these earrings. These earrings match these shoes and my bra. Who sees that? You know what I mean. You guys know what I mean, right? And don't forget the fingernails. And that's cool. That's cool. That's why we should love them and honor them, right? Wow. Bunch of sissies. Anyways. So he made the woman. And you go look it up in the Hebrew. And he brought her into the man. Check out what he does. And Adam said, this is now, how spiritual he is, this is now bone of my bones, man, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called, whoa, man. Did you notice how you pronounce it? Whoa, man. Meaning a womb on a man, a woman. There's some cool stuff there. Because she was taken out of man. Next couple verses, we're out of here. Therefore shall a man, watch this, there shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Do you know what's incredible about this? This is in the garden. And God was looking into the future of children, looking into the future of marriage and all these things for Adam and for Eve, and really beyond that. Because if you look at that, it doesn't make sense. Adam and Eve didn't have a mother or father. You ever notice that? You just look at it and you go, oh, wow, why did he put that in there? Because God's always, he's always proactive. He's always prophetic. He's always progressive. He always sees beyond the limitations of what's going to happen. He's awesome. He always has a plan of rescue for me and you. And they shall be one flesh and one checkbook. Supposed to be. And they were both naked. And the man and the woman were not ashamed. Not ashamed. Not ashamed. But today we are ashamed because of sin and sin nature. So very powerful beginning studies here on the book of faith. Talking about faith. Journey of faith. And how that, again, let me leave you with these capstone statements. You can create the world that you live in by the words you say according to the word of God. Start speaking even tonight and saying, Lord, I speak blessings over my home. Whatever it is that you're lacking in deficiency. It's funny to me that anytime we have a medical deficiency, we either take a supplement or we take a medication to fix that. But in our spiritual life, we just float around and never apply the greatest medicine of all, which is the Word of God. We need to start doing that so we can be healthy for the last days. Father, thank you for this teaching. Help us all of us, including myself, to speak the Word of God. Yes, positive words are powerful because you speak positive words. And help us to do so tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I love everybody. We're Texas Strong. Pray for them, folks, down there. See you Sunday morning. Be blessed.